You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, March 18th, episode 3388, brought to you today by Worm Flooring. Good morning, Horse World.
I have good news and bad news for you on this Monday morning. First, the bad. It's Monday. But the good news is really good. Jamie and Glenn are here to guide you through another week filled with horse talk and a whole lot of fun. Welcome to Horses in the Morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this. Well, here it's a very rainy Monday morning. We have Shariah Harris on with us. This is the request of several auditors, actually. She is the first black woman to play in the U.S. Open Women's Polo Championship. She's going to stop by today and tell us all about it. Plus, Jamie got her new Total Contact saddle. I think that's something you guys talked about when I wasn't here one day.
Correct. You weren't here, so we'll educate you on it.
All right, good. I want to hear how you liked it. And did Taco like it? That's probably the more important question. Plus, we have much more coming up on the show. I did want to mention that this is Road to the Horse Week. It starts this week, I think Wednesday or Thursday. And this year's kind of unique because Tick Maynard is one of the competitors this year. We think about Western competitors when it comes to Road to the Horse and natural horsemanship and all of that stuff. But Tick has taken it on. And yeah, did you do a clinic with him?
No, that was Helena.
That was Helena that did that. Okay. I knew one of you had done a clinic with him. And of course, you know, everybody's read his book, and I'm just excited to see how that's going to go. Donal Hancock from Australia and Ken McNabb from Wyoming, because Ken's competed before, I think one of the years I was there. I just had a memory pop up. It was 8 years ago today that I met Mary Kitzmiller at Road to the Horse.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's where I met her. And, you know, of course, she hosts an episode here every month. And you can watch it this year. A lot of years they haven't had it on video to watch, but I know a lot of you follow it and are not going to be in Lexington. So Pluto TV, you can download the Pluto TV app on your smart TV or phone or whatever, and you can watch it there for free. And then each day they'll have the on-demand will be put up like within 24 to 48 hours. So if you miss it live, you can catch it on demand, but it's on Pluto TV. And I just wanted to mention that for anybody that wants to watch it. I believe it starts on Wednesday or Thursday. Now, I wanted to mention that we're doing something a little different this year, and the idea came from all the talk about poop. And I think I've fallen down on the job this year, because my goal was to mention poop in every episode that we did this year, and I've missed a few. So
I know, because every idea you have, you always forget about it.
Well, I'm not forgetting about this. So we thought instead of Shark Week, we would do our own versions of Shark Week here on the show, and we'll do one a quarter. Well, next week, we are going to be doing Equestrian Travel Week. So all of our guests next week are going to be involving equestrian travel. So if you're looking at a place you might want to go in the next year or two, then next week you'll definitely want to tune in. We're going to have people from all over the world talking about equestrian travel. I'm excited about it. Something we've never done before. Then later on in the year, we're going to do Groundwork Week, where we'll have a Liberty person on. We'll have people talk. Well, we'll have Jamie talking about lung lining. And it's just going to be all kinds of different groundwork things that you can do while not on your horse. We're going to do it.
It's such a broad term. It's going to be nice to assign some activities to it, because people always say, I did groundwork with this horse. I've done groundwork with it. I'm like, what does
that mean?
What kind?
Yes, exactly.
What does that mean? It's one of the more frustrating things, actually. So I can't wait.
I don't want to have a driving trainer on too, because groundwork is something that we do, you know, we do extensively before we ever put the horse in the carriage. So
it's a good idea.
Yeah. So we're going to do that. Then we're going to have a tack week in the third quarter. And then, of course, the highlight of the year, poop week, is going to happen in the fourth quarter of the year.
Yay!
So we will have a poop week coming up. Let's do some daily whinnies.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to Michelle Atkins, who's also been with us since the auditors started. Happy birthday to her. Also, I wanted to welcome new auditors, Terry and Roxanne. Thank you so much for joining the party. And we want to congratulate another auditor, Cassidy, on the birth of her baby, Everett. So congratulations to you, Cassidy.
She's not listening to this right now because she's sleeping.
She's sleeping, right.
Hopefully.
But she might have a lot of time to listen as she's tending to the baby. So that's what I'm figuring. I'm hoping she hears it anyway.
So, in the true fashion of Farm Boy, he adopted a horse, you know, 3 weeks ago and just finally got around to naming it. I'm like, dude, you can, the horse's name is Maesta Park. And I'm like, you can't not name this horse. I can't call him that. So what are you going to call him? And then he just hemmed and hawed and it was yesterday. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go on the show and announce that his name is Chicken Nugget. If you don't give me a name for the horse.
Kind of like that name, actually.
Yeah. And he was like, okay, well, he's like, there's this riddle. And the riddle, I'm going to ask you the riddle. This is why he named his horse this.
Okay.
He goes, there's a riddle that made me think of the name. Because he told me that. I was like, that's kind of unique. He goes, cowboy came to town on a Friday. He stayed 3 days and he left on a Friday. How?
I don't know.
Oh, everybody's screaming at you. The horse's name was Friday.
That's right. And I've heard that one before.
Everybody's yelling at you right now. Yeah. So now we have another.
So his name's Friday or Riddle? Horse.
Friday. Friday is his name. And what's funny now is that I had a young girl, Bella, out this weekend. She was like, oh my God, now you have a Tuesday and a Friday.
Oh, that's true.
Like, I didn't even think about that. So yeah, we have Taco Tuesday and now Friday, Farm Boy's horse. And did you see the video that I posted? So my neighbor next door, bless his heart, his name is Joel. He's a super sweet guy. And he has 20 acres that are adjacent to ours, but his 20 is completely overgrown mess of cedar and woods and all that. But he has cut some trails to walk his dogs. So he walks the 20 acres with his dogs. And so a couple years ago, he let me put in a gate. And so I now can ride on Joel's 20 acres of trail. So I just text him beforehand because his dogs will attack us. So I have to text him, hey, Joel, we're out trail riding. I send him like unicorn emojis and he's like, okay. So we go out yesterday and he had told me, he was like, I cut some new trails. So because we kind of always make the same loop. And he's like, I cut some new trails, so go explore. And I was like, that sounds fun. So I hopped on Taco Tuesday and Farm Boy was on Friday and young Bella was on Ace. And so we go out riding on these trails. Well, bless his heart, Joel cut them for human size, human height. And it had been like that before. And that we have had awesome people helping us cut the trails and everything was great. And but now we got a whole new thing. And so I posted a video because when you're 5'3 and your pony is 13'3, you have a distinct advantage than when you're on a 16'3 hand horse and you're 6'4. And I posted a video of Farm Boy trying to get through the woods and it is hilarious. I was like cackling. So go watch it.
He wore a helmet that day.
I know, right? He actually has said, I get why you wear a helmet.
Whack, whack, whack.
So you can check out that video. It's very funny. I love it.
So did you use your new saddle on that ride?
I did.
All right.
So
tell me about the saddle. I wasn't here that day.
Okay. So Total Contact Saddles. We had a lovely lady.
This is not a paid advertisement, by the way. It's just somebody. No. Actually, was Ashley's mother found this company.
Yeah, it's yeah. Ashley's mother found the company, and then she came on and was telling us all about it. And I was like, dude, that sounds like exactly what I need. So in the same vein of always spending money when I do this show, I now own a Total Contact Saddles. So back up, she was describing it, and Taco is, you know, like I said, he's like 13'3", but he's very small. I mean, he's like a small 13'3". I don't know how that's possible, but he's just really small. And all my saddles, even though they're only 17s, they're just too long and they sit behind that. You know, your saddle's not really supposed to go
past sort of flaps that. Like below his belly.
No, just yeah. It's too far back. Like it's past his last rib. And so it kind of like always, and he's been getting grumpier and grumpier every time I tack him up to where, you know, I put the girth on and I go to girth it up and he pins his ears and he's on gut X. He's going to do the omeprazole. Like we're doing all the health things that he could possibly do. I'm doing for this darn pony. But he's just getting really mad every time I tack him up. And then when I sit on him, you can tell, like I sit on him and I'm like, okay, let's go. And he just kind of like, as Farm Boy describes it, he gets tight. Gets a little tight. And I'm like, I'm going to get off and walk him around for a minute. So I end up having to get off and walk him around. And then I don't really achieve a whole lot because he kind of goes and stops. Our rides have not been going very well. So I just decided I needed to do something else. And then literally like the next day, we have total contact saddles on. And I was like, that sounds exactly perfect. So what it is a... You say it's a saddle for those that have flat backs or short backs or high withers. It's basically like if you were looking at a English saddle and you just lopped off the back of it, but there's no tree. It's basically this. Let me see. I had to read it from their website. The Total Contact Saddle is a treeless saddle that wraps around the horse, delivered to you flat. It has no fixed shape to it, meaning it adapts to the contours of the horse, regardless of size, conformation, breed, or age. So I put it on him, and I went to tighten the girth, and he didn't pin his ears. I was like, oh, I like that.
It's not even really a saddle, because there's no seat.
There's no seat.
Where you sit. It's more like a surcingle with...
With stirrups.
The stirrups, yeah. It's kind of almost like a treeless surcingle, a flexible surcingle with stirrups.
Yeah, it's like a leather strap around their belly with stirrups on it. It's crazy. And so I wasn't quite sure. But in the pictures, they have really nice saddle pads on the website. And it looked just like my EcoGold saddle pad. So I got out my EcoGold pad and I put that. And it's the one with the fuzzy on the bottom and the kind of grippy on the top. Yep. And it worked perfect.
That'd be perfect
so
for
I
this.
So I climbed up. Yeah. Now, the problem I had is that Taco's so small that my legs, like, I had to shorten my stirrups considerably because it was my dressage stirrups. I pulled off my dressage saddle and I'd shorten them all the way up. I ended up having to roll them like I was 7 years old, you know, again, like roll my stirrups and to get them short enough to where my legs were like up against his side. So I'm going to try this saddle again on like a fuller horse, you know, Miles. So I'm going to try it on him today and see what the difference is in the comfort level. But I felt secure. Like it's weird, like to be on this tiny horse and to, again, he's so narrow that I felt like I was having to almost squeeze inward to put my calves on him.
Did he have the same reaction as the big saddle though? You know, when
I got on him. And so I have had my friend Ginger, she stands on with me and she walks him off. And usually that first couple steps is like, you see, he kind of scoots. He just walked off, which was nice. Now he's still a little balky. Like we're still going to have to work on all that. But I just was like, you know what? I'm just going to go out on the trail because Taco Tuesday does not find it beneficial to work in an arena. He does not think that
he's related to Scooter.
Yeah.
Scooter hates the ring.
Why would I trot in this round pin? This is stupid.
But going to woods or going to road or whatever, he loves that.
But yeah, I was super comfortable. I really was thought I would be very like feeling like I was about to slide or off or around. And it was very like I rode for an hour in this thing and got off. And
as
I was
far
fine.
As your butt's concerned, you're riding bareback, basically.
Basically, but yeah. with my big fleecy saddle pad, somebody posted like, you must be giving the horse kissing spine. Well, if that's the case, I've given a lot of horses kissing spine through my life because I've ridden bareback forever. So
do people think that you ride bareback, you give them kissing spine?
That one of the comments on my post when they posted
thought it would have been the opposite.
Yeah, I didn't know how to respond to it, so I just didn't.
That's probably a good idea.
And if you're listening, I please explain if you could email me on that. I don't know, but it's almost like more secure than bareback because you have a stirrups that are attached to a bar that are attached to the horse. So no, I felt very comfortable. We just walked, but we went up and down hills, and obviously I had to duck under some trees and stuff like that. And I was quite comfortable. Again, I'm really excited to try it on a fuller horse and see it be like, to be able to actually lay my leg against the side of a horse.
Can't get any fuller than mine.
I know. I think he's the perfect candidate. So I'll give that a try and I'll come back and let you guys know. But it is definitely a unique thing. Like it came so quick too.
I've never heard of this before. They're out of England, right?
Yeah, I'd never heard of it. And apparently a lot of our listeners have them. So I was like, duh, Total Contact Saddles. Apparently it's like a thing that we just didn't know about. So I'm thrilled with it. I will tell you that I was very pleased on his comfort level and how I put it on him, and he didn't pin his ears. There's nothing hitting him in the lumbar spine, you know, and so I was really pleased with it. But again, I'll try it on several different horses to give you guys a fuller review. And would it be tougher on a rounder horse? I don't know. We'll see. But they say that the saddle's for round horses. So again, I will be y'all's dummy.
Theoretically,
I will
be your guinea pig. It should be for any size horse because it's not rigid in any way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You just need a long enough girth.
I just need a bigger horse. That's basically what I needed. But again, he was happier with it, which is what I was going for.
Yay. Cool. Very good. So now you have Tuesday and Friday. You just need a Wednesday. And the Wednesday one has to be kind of like a mean girl.
It needs to be a black mare.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Exactly. Who has an attitude.
Salty black mare.
Worm flooring now does trailer roofs as well as your floors. Leaky roofs are a very common problem in horse trailers and RVs. Worm flooring's revolutionary silicone-based coating creates a barrier against heat and wet. First, it seals your roof to stop the leaks before they start. Second, it reflects back nearly 90% of those nasty UV rays, keeping your trailer or barn up to 60 degrees cooler on a blistering day. So ditch the duct tape and the buckets. Invest in a long-lasting peace of mind with Seal and Chill. It's applied by pros for a flawless finish, and it's only $7.50 per square foot. That's a steal for a cooler, drier, happier trailer or RV, which means happier horses and people. Head on over to wormflooring.com to find a dealer near you. 2-1. Well, you know how we're always joking about Florida Man and half the weird news stories you have are out of Florida?
I am aware.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that anybody would want to move to Florida. Well, I just saw an article from U.S. News on the fastest growing places in the U.S. In 2023 and 2024. And so this is the places that more people are moving to than any other place in the country.
Okay, well, I'm going to guess Florida's number one.
Well, the top 10, almost all of them are Florida, but...
It's towns,
yes. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina is number one. I like Myrtle Beach. I didn't know a lot of people were moving there. Sarasota, Florida, number two. Fort Myers, Florida, number three. Lakeland, Florida, who I was in Lakeland for Lee's service yesterday or Saturday. Port St. Lucie, Florida. Boise, Idaho. Now, that I wouldn't have guessed. But
wow, yeah. Interesting.
And number seven of the places that more people are moving in the country than anywhere else, Ocala, Florida.
Oh, wow. So no Oklahoma?
Daytona Beach, Naples, Florida, and then Salisbury, Maryland. So Florida had almost all of them in the top 10. So you know what? We have a bad reputation, but people are still moving here.
You would think Oklahoma would be one, because apparently all the Oklahoma people are really mad that people from California keep moving to Oklahoma.
Let me see if there's an Oklahoma on the top 25. Nope. Wow.
Well, then I'll tell them all to shut up. It's not that bad. You should try living in Florida.
And one of the reasons, obviously, that everybody's moving to Ocala and we're so high up on the list is, and by the way, there is construction of houses around here. It's unbelievable, the number. But the new hotel has opened at the World Equestrian Center. Remember, the only hotel they had was the 5-star one that cost like $600 a night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now the Riding Academy Hotel has opened, and it's a 390-room, and they're upscale studios and suites. There's no normal rooms. It's all upscale studios and suites. I saw pictures. They look very nice.
So is this, like, more expensive now?
No, it's less. It's about half the price. It's at $229 a night. And what this is really meant for is people who are coming in for the season. You know, they're coming in for the the jumping season, which is usually a couple months.
And so 229 a night for a whole season. Oh, good Lord.
These people, a lot of them stay in the big hotel at $500, $600 a night for 2 months. I know.
What do you do for a living? Because I need to get that job. Good God.
It's amazing. It is amazing.
And they pay for stabling. I mean, literally, just live in that community and go to eat at those expensive restaurants. Oh, my God. Their bill must be like $1 billion at the end.
You know, we were there, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago with friends, and we went to the less expensive restaurant in the hotel. And, you know, it's less expensive, but it's still, for the two of us, it was probably $65. Mm-hmm. And the place is just full of riders. And you know, they're there. They come in there and probably eat every night.
You took me to the cheap place and there's, you know, the cheap pasta place.
Just great. And the cheap pasta place ain't cheap either. When you think about it. No. But this place is nice. The new hotel is nice. It has a sun deck. It has a stone fireplace. It has space for live music performances. It has a huge state-of-the-art fitness center, which they built for the riders. It has a Starbucks, of course, because, you know, every hotel should have one. But yeah, it has a whole bunch of different stuff, and it's right off of where all of the arenas are. So yeah, it's open. They got it open early. They weren't supposed to be open for a couple of months, but it's now open. So now you have a less expensive place for all of you that are coming in and want to hang out at the World Equestrian Center. $229 a night. I looked over the next month, and it was all about $229 a night, which I didn't think was too bad for a nice hotel.
You can't find a decent hotel for less than that unless you go Motel 6 or something like that. So that seems to be the kind of going rate. I've had to book hotel rooms so many times in Jacksonville to catch my flight the next morning. And I mean, it's $200 a night.
Yeah. And these are sweet. So they have little kitchens and all that stuff, which is kind of nice.
This is also not an advertisement.
No, but I just wanted to mention that it was open. And now they're working on opening the 100,000 square foot conference center. That one, I'm a little interested in how they're going to make that work, because we're not close to them. You know, usually when you have a conference for a large company, you're close to an airport, you know, or at least within Uber range of an airport. We're an hour and a half from Orlando's airport, and Gainesville's tiny, and that's an hour away.
Coming soon, the Ocala airport. International Airport.
We do have an international airport, but it has no commercial flights. It's all the private jets from Wellington coming up.
So, well, that's what they're doing it for, I guess. Yeah.
All right, let's hear about Cosequin, and then we're going to go to our first guest.
Cosequin ASU joint and hoof pellets contain quality ingredients to support joint and hoof health and leave out the fillers, molasses, and alfalfa, all while delivering the taste horses love. The colors of their ingredients shine through for a difference you can see. Visit CosequinEquine.com.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, we have Shariah Harris with us. She was the first Black woman to play in the U.S. Women's Polo Championship and has been playing polo for a little while. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. You're up from my old stomping ground. I grew up in Lancaster County. You're over by Philadelphia, right?
That's right.
And you have like a real job now that you graduated from college and all of that stuff. Tell us what you do.
I do. I'm a nurse at Lincoln All Medical Center, and I work in the OR.
Oh, wow. You have a real job. It's like a serious job.
Yeah.
As opposed to hours, I'm saying. Yeah.
Look. A job is a job.
So I read a lot about you, and you've done a lot of interviews lately, but you started with a nonprofit program when you learned to ride called Work to Ride. What's that?
So Work to Ride is a program in West Philly and Fairmount Park, and it's been around since 94, and it targets under-resourced Philly youth. So really, I found the program by accident. My mom got lost in the park. And, you know, came upon a dead-end road and found Work to Ride. And myself and my two siblings, we all went through the program up until we graduated from high school.
And did they have a polo team? Is that where you got interested in polo?
Yes. So the program teaches you how to ride. We honestly did everything. We did pony races. We did steeplechases, polo. We did hunter jumper. We did Western Pleasure, we did Gymkhana show, we did everything. But polo is what everyone gets drawn to. And, you know, they had a they had a bowl team that we would travel around and played all through middle and high school.
Did you all use community horses, or did you have your own?
So Work to Ride has horses.
Okay, so you use their horses for playing polo. What appealed? What was the appeal of polo? Fast and fun?
Yeah, honestly. When I started the program, the boys in the program, they were really good. And, you know, I wanted to emulate them. So watching them play made me want to play. And then when I started playing, I'm like, oh, this is amazing.
You want to be the boys. I get it.
Exactly.
Did you ride before you started playing, like before you went to the program?
No, that was my first introduction to horses.
Baller. And now you're like top of your game, man. That's amazing.
Thank you.
So were you the only girl on the team, or were there other girls on the team, on that team back then?
So initially when I started, I was on the girls team.
Okay.
But the program, you know, everyone doesn't make it through the program. They either drop out, or they get kicked out because they don't have the grades. They're not keeping up with school. They're getting in trouble at school or legally. So if initially when I started, I was on a girls team. And then all the girls that I started with didn't make it long term. So then I ended up having to play with the guys so I could keep playing. So then I was the only girl on the team playing with the guys.
And, you know, it's because of that, really, that you talked about where you work. I mean, you do what you do. You're a surgical nurse because of a scholarship for Cornell from playing polo, right?
Yes. I was recruited to play at Cornell. And I will. Cornell is also one of the good schools that, you know, they give need-based money as well, depending on your income level. So that is how I was able to go to Cornell.
So isn't that interesting? Horses usually cost us all money and we never get that back. You in a way have gotten it back because of horses.
You win.
Yeah.
You win.
Yeah.
I would say yes. Yes.
I haven't seen that yet in my time owning horses.
Well, you know, I don't own any yet, so maybe that's why I'm getting a return.
Oh, that's yeah. That could be why
she said yet.
You're the smart one. So then, obviously, that led to you playing women's polo at a much higher level. What team did you start with when you started playing? When you were out of college.
So polo's weird because it always varies. You can play with a different team week to week.
Okay.
So after college, it was just, after college, I wasn't able to play all the time. Like I was used to playing around the clock, you know, because the season goes from October to April, the interscholastic intercollegiate season. So then I got my playing time in the summer. And then we'll play with like local places in Maryland, Brandywine, Lancaster. So everything, you know, because you can play with a different team each time, you kind of hop around.
I didn't realize there was that much polo in that area.
It's really big in, I would say, in the North. Yeah, like the Maryland areas where I've played the most, I would say.
So you still enjoyed as much as you did when you were 8 and 10 and 12?
Yeah. Yes, I love it. I love it. That's why I'm still making it work around a full-time job.
I know there's a learning curve to doing anything, right? There's a learning curve to being a nurse. The learning curve to polo, is there a point where you go, is there a point where you realized, okay, I figured this out, I can do this now?
There's a point where things start to make more sense and you're like, oh, well, why didn't I do that 2 years ago? My coach told me to do it. But then you see some of these pros and the things that they can do with the ball and on their horses, and you're like, okay, there's another level I need to reach for. So
now there's,
I think, yeah, you can't be too good.
There's kind of, where was the polo championships? Anyway,
Wellington, Florida.
Was in Wellington? Okay.
Yep.
I know I went to one time years ago, like 30 years ago, they were having them in Lexington, Kentucky at the time. And we got to watch them there. But was there, I know you're all graded. Kind of explain the classification you have as a polo player. Do they have that in women's polo?
Like a ranking?
Yes.
Yeah. So So for women's, the women's handicaps are a little weird, but it still goes up to 10. So right now I'm only 3. So still have a lot of.
And that's based on how many goals you score and things like that?
No, it's based on your overall impact on the field. But rankings get tricky because, you know, the more you play, the more, you know, the more people see you and they can properly gauge your ranking. But if you don't play in a lot of the big tournaments like myself, then you don't necessarily get, your rating doesn't necessarily get reviewed as often, if that makes sense.
It's just complicated.
It sounds way
you can
tougher
fly below
than,
the radar.
Yeah. than a golf handicap, you yeah, know, like you just write down your score. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this, speaking of being influential and important, you kind of did well in that championship game. And so tell us what happened.
We did okay. We made it to the semifinals and we lost in the semifinals. The quick turnaround for how last minute we put in a team to having really no practice time with each other. Or that was our first time all playing together for us to, you know, just kind of just jump into it and make it to the semifinals. I think we did pretty well.
Do you get good at you're talking about putting a team together and you haven't played together. Is it pretty instinctual when you're at that level that you can play with others pretty well, or is there a learning curve in playing with others, what they're doing, you know, their moves, what they're used to doing? Obviously it's ideal if you play with the same team all the time, but at that level, can you do it successfully?
I would say yes, because we made it pretty far, but you definitely can't discredit the chemistry and the team bonding and the learning of each other before going into big games, big tournaments like that. So I think, you know, if we had more time to practice together and learn what each other did, then I think we probably would have done better. But I feel like that for polo, you know, since you can play with different people for different tournaments, we kind of all have to adapt quickly to how one another plays, even if you haven't played together before.
And are you riding
up polo?
Yeah.
Are you riding the same horses all the time, or were you riding different horses for like this match?
So for this tournament, for the most part, I had the same maybe 3 horses that I played from the first game to the last game, but it was such a rotation trying to figure out the right combination of horses and everything. And I think I ended up having maybe 5 or 6 per game. So I would have some different horses for each game, but there were like a staple 2 or 3 that I kept for every game.
Okay, so not only are you dealing with new teammates, you're dealing with new horses. So you got a lot going on there. And let me now be honest. So you get on one horse and you go, well, this one's a dream. This one's fun. I can handle this one. And is there the one you get on and go, oh, the next couple of minutes are going to be a nightmare?
I think I feel like there's always that, especially when you're going on horses that aren't your own or you're not familiar with. You're like, okay, I'm going to get the best out of this horse that I can for these 3 minutes, and then I'm going to switch.
Yeah, I'm done with this one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's true for all of us, right? I mean,
yeah. Right. You're like, okay, I got to get the most out of this, and then I can get back to my guy.
So if you were telling young people coming up, women, boys, girls, whatever, why polo?
I would say, what I tell everybody, the initial attraction for me is the horse. And the athleticism of these horses in polo is something that is like the most exciting thing for most of the polo players. Like, we like to say that the horse is 70% of the game. You know, so that if you don't have the horses, you won't do as well. So it is always fun to get on these horses that are like, we call them like Ferraris that just are push button, take you anywhere, take you everywhere. And then you fall in love with the sport running as fast as you can, hitting the ball, bumping into each other. So it's a very adrenaline-filled sport. We like to, for people who don't know what polo is, we like to call it hockey on horses, because you're allowed to bump into each other. You're allowed to go as fast as you can to the ball. You're allowed to fight each other for the ball with your mallets, and it's a really, really fun adrenaline-filled sport.
What breed are we seeing most of the horses now in polo?
There's thoroughbreds. The big one is the Argentine thoroughbred.
What makes that a lot of people have? How's that one different then?
They're a little quarter horsey thoroughbred look to them. I would say they're a little more quarter horsey look, but they have a little more stamina than the quarter horses. But really powerful, really bursty, and stop on the dime horses. Glenn, and you know, Argentina is like the, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say too, I adopt out a lot of thoroughbreds here. And if I get a mare that is 15-2 or under, she is a polo pony. Is that, do you guys use mostly mares?
Mostly mares. Yeah.
Why is that?
Yeah.
I think it's just, I don't know, actually. I think it's more so of, I guess, what's available, but the mares do have a very feisty demeanor that makes them good for polo.
Really? I'm surprised.
Yeah, it's a lot of mares
for something, Glenn. Jeez, watch your mouth. Women, girl power. Hello.
We've owned a lot of mares over the years, that's for sure. That's funny. And of course, height. You don't want them really over 15 and a half, do you?
You know, I like mine short. For the most part, even the pros, they don't have big ones, but you know, there's some that do have taller ones, but for the most part, like 15 is perfect.
And you're switching them out, what, every 3 minutes?
Yeah, it depends on, it depends on what type of horse you have. For the most part, people do the split chucker, split it two horses and a chucker. But there are people who ride one horse for most of a chucker, or only one for a minute or two and switch again. And it's all horse dependent, really.
Now, are there, like soccer, are there defense and offensive positions?
Yes. But everyone can offensively attack. Okay. Like, you don't have to stay in a certain zone.
Gotcha. Okay. I've watched a lot of polo, and I try and watch that to see if there is that, you know, because and even ice hockey is the same way, right? So
it's like polo 101 today. Yeah, you didn't know, well, you were coming, you know, on to educate us about polo.
We haven't talked about polo in so long, and I love polo. I live in Ocala, and Florida Horse Park's right down the street from us, so we get to go to polo quite a bit down there.
Great sport to play and to watch.
Yeah. Well, very good. It's been good having you on the show. Congratulations, and keep it up.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Level up your horse's performance this season with choices from Purina Animal Nutrition. From Purina Altium Competition Formula to Purina Impact Pro Performance and everything in between, Purina has the right option for your horse, including supplements like Purina Super Sport Amino Acid Supplement, Purina Amplify High Fat Supplement, and Purina Outlast Gastric Support Supplement. There are many choices for optimal nutrition when you choose Purina, and they're all backed by science. So level up your performance this season and put Purina's research to the test. Ask for Purina at your local feed retailer today.
I feel like that's a two cups of coffee ad, because I'm not sure you could do that with just one cup or no cups.
I haven't had enough coffee today. Sorry, I'm a little slow.
All right. I found something that I wanted to play, because this is, and I know a lot of you have seen this, but some of you have not. And I felt today when I looked at it again, this is the second time I've watched it, and it's only 2 minutes. I'm going to play it for you. But this is Kara Lawson. She is the Duke women's basketball coach. And this went viral. She didn't mean it to go viral. She just, it was just a talk she had with her team in the gym. And she doesn't plan what she says. She's kind of an impromptu. I've seen the interviews with her before. She doesn't plan. She said, I'm terrible at writing things down. I don't make lists. I hardly remember to show up on time. And this was a talk she did that got millions of views. And I just want you to think about how, Jamie, you haven't heard this yet. I want you to think about how this concept applies to our lives with horses as well, because I really think it does.
I was talking with Shay a couple days ago, and one of the things we talked about was how we all wait in life for things to get easier. Think in your own life if you waited for something to get easier. Oh, I just got to get through this, and then it'll be easy. I just got to get through preseason, and then it'll be okay. I've just got to get through my junior year of high school, and then the classes are going to get easier. I've just got to get to my spring and my senior year of college, and it's going to be easier. It's what we do. We wait for stuff to get easier. It will never get easier. What happens is you handle hard better. That's what happens. Most people think that it's going to get easier. Life is going to get easier. Basketball is going to get easier. School's going to get easier. It never gets easier. What happens is you become someone that handles hard stuff better. So that's a mental shift that has to occur in each of your brains. It has to. Because if you go around waiting for stuff to get easier in life, it's never going to happen. And then what happens? Oh, it's so hard. Oh, I can't do it. Oh, this, I don't know when is it going to be easy for me? Oh, it's easy for other people. It's not. It's hard. And the second we see you handling stuff, handling hard better, what are we going to do? We're going to make it harder. We're going to make it harder. Because we're preparing for you for when you leave here. Not just basketball and life. And if you think life, when you leave college, is going to be all of a sudden get easy because you graduated and you got a Duke degree, it's not going to get easier. It's going to get harder. So make yourself a person that handles hard well. Not someone that's waiting for the easy. Because if you have a meaningful pursuit in life, it will never be easy. If you're trying to win a championship, if you're trying to have a family, ask your parents. Do you think it was ever easy for them to raise kids? Karen, is it easy? It's not. Any meaningful pursuit in life, if you want to be successful at it, it goes to the people that handle hard well. Those are the people that get the stuff they want. People that wait around for easy, you probably see them at the bus stop. They're waiting for easy, the easy bus to come around. Easy bus never comes around. Got to handle hard. Okay, so don't get discouraged through this time. If it's hard, don't get discouraged. It's supposed to be. And don't wait for it to be, I just got to get through the summer. And then it'll all of a sudden get easy in the fall. No, it won't. It won't. It won't get easy in the fall. So make yourself someone that handles hard well. And then whatever comes at you, you're going to be great.
What do you think?
Ooh, I want to play that for Lucas, although he won't listen to it. I'll just have to handle hard, buddy. You got to learn how to handle hard. It's so true. That's very true in all aspects of your life.
And it never changes.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care what age you are. You know, it because she's right. Once you've handled something and it becomes easy, something else is thrown at you. And with horses especially, right? I mean, once you think you got it figured out, they throw something at you.
Well, and I was thinking of Farm Boy, too. You know, he's in college, and he is actually, like, he added grad school because he was like, I'm not ready to start life because that's going to be really hard. You know, like, he understands, like, this is the best time. It's going to, once you're out, it's hard. Yeah. It's really hard.
Handle hard better. I was at the service for my podcasting friend, Lee, who had the cancer podcast. He's been on our show. And it was a beautiful service. And by the way, I like celebrations of life over funerals any day of the week. Because mm-hmm. they just basically, a bunch of people show up, you eat food, and then you get up and talk about your friend. It was I just love that. Phil's was that way too. But he learned to handle hard better. He had cancer for 13 years, and he did the most amazing things for those 13 years, right? He handled hard better. And when I heard this morning, I thought of Lee right away. And I just think she's right. Those of us and I'm not putting myself in that category because I haven't done that well all the time, you know, handle hard better all the time, because I think we all still think that it's going to get easier someday. And things do. I think there are some things that get easier, right? I mean, there's some things in your life because you've done them over and over and over again, they get easier. But then there's something else in life that challenges you. You as a parent, I heard you grunt when she brought that up. Yeah. How did that resonate?
Of course. I mean, and the thing is, being a parent, it's hard. But what's even harder than being a parent is trying to impart things like this on your child. I mean, I don't have a degree in psychology to get my child to be better and handle hard better. So that's a nice summation of how to be, you know.
That was 2 minutes. That really explains our life, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and she didn't write that down, or wasn't a speech she planned to give. And she said it was the first time she ever used handle hard better as a term. Now it's a thing across the world. You can get bracelets, you can get signs. I mean, it's become a thing. She said it wasn't me that somebody else posted it. It was one of her players that posted it, and then it went viral. But anyway, I'll put a link to that in the show notes, because that way you can all play it for your family or whoever. I just thought, you know what? Somebody needs to hear that today. So that's why I wanted to play it.
Love it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to hang around and do a bit of a post show for you, so for the auditors, so hang on for that. I have a closing meme of the day. My closing meme of the day is, nothing haunts a rider like the saddle pad they didn't buy.
Amen, brother.
Guess who put that out?
I'm assuming it's PS of Sweden, because yes. That's the one we all yes. dream of.
There you go. That's the $300 saddle pad that
I got one for Christmas, and my friend Larissa got me a red, beautiful red PS of Sweden saddle pad for Christmas, and has a matching shirt, like a super cute matching shirt. And she's like, "Have you worn it yet?" And I was like, "Hell no! It's mud season. I'm not putting that beautiful thing on my nasty horse."
It's hanging in the house somewhere in the wall.
It's hanging in my closet.
She had it framed. It's on the wall in glass, so it doesn't get dirty. But the price they are, that's probably where it should be.
It's not $300, but they're just so nice. Oh gosh, yeah. But I'm like, I'm not putting that nice thing on my nasty horse. We'll see you in the summer.
See y'all.
Spay, neuter, geld.
Guess what? We have the new Quarter Horse episode tomorrow.